This is the Risky Business News Podcast, read and prepared by Cătălin Câmpanu. Starting with today's top story, Microsoft published a report on Wednesday detailing its visibility into the cyber attacks carried out by Russia against Ukraine. The company said it detected at least 6 Russian-aligned threat actors launched 237 operations against Ukraine, with some groups pre-positioning for conflict as early as March 2021, almost a full year before the Russian military invaded Ukraine. Groups involved in the attacks included the likes of Sandworm, APT-28, Turla, Nobelium, Gamma Radon, and Energetic Bear, linked to cyber units inside Russia's GRU, SVR, and FSB agencies. Microsoft said that many cyber attacks mirrored and augmented military actions inside Ukraine, such as deploying wipers to sabotage Ukrainian government activity before certain troop operations. 5 years after its launch, security.txt is now an official IFTF standard, having been assigned the RFC 9116 identifier. Launched in 2017, security.txt refers to a text file that companies can place on their official websites with information on how bug hunters can contact security teams to report vulnerabilities and other cybersecurity-related issues. Google is expanding the type of data users can request to be removed from search results. While until now victims of doxing could request the removal of bank accounts and credit card numbers, Google says that starting this week, victims can also request the removal of phone numbers, email addresses, physical addresses, or login credentials associated with their identities. Microsoft is testing a built-in VPN feature for its Edge web browser. The upcoming VPN, called the Microsoft Edge Secure Network, is provided in partnership with Cloudflare, claims to encrypt user traffic, and will offer 1 GB of free bandwidth each month to users who sign into their Edge browser. The German government has asked German companies to restrict the access of Russian software developers to crucial IT systems. Operators of critical infrastructure such as electricity, water, and internet providers have received a letter from the Federal Ministry of the Interior. Government officials fear that Russia will put pressure on software developers to insert backdoors that may be used to cripple German infrastructure in the case of future direct confrontation. The US Department of Homeland Security will create a new office called the Disinformation Governance Board. The new effort, led by Nina Yankovitz, will be focused on countering misinformation on topics such as Russia and migration, Politico reported. On the malware front, security researchers said they spotted a new ransomware strain. Named Onyx and first spotted last week, the ransomware has been seen trashing victims' files. While smaller files can be decrypted, large files are unrecoverable, according to several security researchers, who are currently advising against paying any ransom for this threat. In addition, Sophos researchers said that one of the Lockbit ransomware group affiliates has managed to infect their own tools with the Neshta virus. Since Neshta is an old and very well detected threat, Sophos recommends that any Neshta detection should be investigated as a potential Lockbit ransomware intrusion. Proofpoint researchers said they spotted a new malware strain this week named Bumblebee. The malware is being distributed via email spam and is used as an initial entry vector to drop more powerful malware and subsequent attacks. Proofpoint said that threat actors currently using Bumblebee have carried out ransomware attacks in the past, which should be a reason of concern for companies that detect infections with this new threat on their networks. The IBM X-Force team has also published a report on Hive 117, a financially motivated cybercrime group that has been recently targeting enterprises with the Dark Watchman JavaScript threat. X-Force said the attacks have primarily targeted telecommunications providers in Eastern Europe, including entities in Russia. Furthermore, the campaign predates and is not associated with any cyber activity originating from the Russo-Ukrainian war. Reports from multiple security researchers suggest that the new Black Basta ransomware group is just a rebrand of the older Conte gang. Since the second week of April, the Black Basta gang has already hit at least a dozen organizations, showing the same prowess and efficiency of the old Conte gang. A third Ukraine alert published on Thursday said that several DDoS attacks that hit Ukrainian web portals have been conducted with the help of compromised WordPress sites. Ukrainian search specialists said that hacked WordPress sites contained a piece of malicious JavaScript code, codenamed Brown Flood, that hijacked visitors' bandwidth and resources to attack Ukrainian websites. Cloudflare said it blocked a 50 million requests per second DDoS attack against a cryptocurrency investment platform. While this was not the largest application layer attack ever recorded, which stands at a record 17.2 million requests per second, Cloudflare said the attack was of note because it was carried out exclusively via HTTPS request, which was surprising because of its large volume. There are also several interesting reports published over the past few days, but the most interesting one is a report from Stairwell. The company said it found a collection of files named StrikerSuit Gift that were uploaded on VirusTotal and appeared to be an archive of offensive tools and malware samples that they managed to link to the APT32 cyber espionage group, which is believed to be operating out of Vietnam. Stairwell said it found a collection of office macro building tools, which researchers said have been at the center of most of APT32's recent operations. In addition, after months of investigation, cybersecurity firm Mandiant has formally linked the group who broke into SolarWinds to APT29, a threat actor long connected to the Russian government. While initial reporting suggested that APT29 was behind the attack all along, Mandiant has long restrained from formally pinning the attack on the group until it had the evidence to back it up. The White House formally attributed the SolarWinds hack to APT29 in April 2021, and more specifically to a cyber espionage unit part of the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service known as the SVR. In addition, the Mandiant report also includes details about newer APT29 attacks, including ones carried out this year where the threat actor used a malware strain named BitDrop that used Trello servers as command and control infrastructure. And ending today's stories, we have a vulnerability report from cloud security firm Wiz. Named Extra Replica, this is a vulnerability that could have been used to access PostgreSQL databases for other Azure customers. Here's Shir Tamari, head of research at Wiz, to explain how the vulnerability works.
My team at Wiz Research found a series of critical vulnerabilities in Azure PostgreSQL Flexible Server. We named these issues Extra Replica, as it essentially could have allowed an attacker the ability to replicate and gain read access to the Postgres databases of other customers. We achieved this cross-tenant access by chaining together two separate vulnerabilities. The first was a privilege escalation vulnerability that we exploited on our own Postgres SQL database. Because our database is managed by Microsoft and run in their environment, we do not have full control over it. So we actually used this vulnerability to gain access to the Azure internal network. The second step in this chain is an authentication bypass vulnerability. We found our managed database adds network access to other Postgres databases of other customers, which was very surprising. And in addition, we can connect to other databases if we have a valid SSL client certificate. Because the certificate authentication was done by a very loose regular expression, we could easily bypass it using a certificate we issued to a unique identifier .azure.com.wizresearch, which was very easy because we own wizresearch.com, so we can issue a certificate, and it was enough for the regular expression to determine that our certificate is valid. And by using this certificate, we were able to read data from other Postgres databases of other Azure customers. The impact of Extra Replica could have been quite severe. In the wrong hands, the vulnerability could have been used to access Postgres databases of countless Azure customers, including the biggest companies in the market. And this is why it's really good that Microsoft partner with security researchers, so vulnerabilities like this one can be cut early and mitigated before they're even exploited. Microsoft patched this vulnerability very fast, and they fixed it in a way that no customer action is required. They also did a check, and they didn't find any evidence that this vulnerability was ever exploited. And if you would like to read more about this vulnerability, Feel free to check our blog at wiz.io/blog.
That's it for RiskyBiz News. We'll be back with a new edition on Monday. You can find links for everything we reported on in our newsletter, which you can find at riskybiznews.substack.com.